Welcome to Events Heist, the podcast game show about post-COVID events and event professionals. And today we'll be playing with Christian and George. George, could you kick off by introducing yourself with your name, title, and company?
My name is George Haddon. I'm founder and CEO of Pause Fest, the world's leading festival for business and creativity.
And over to you, Christian.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christian. I'm a senior event producer at FCM Meetings and Events.
So you'll both be starting at the helicopter, and the aim of this game is to get to the mint. It's a snakes and ladders board, which I think is appropriate for events. For every two steps forward, you'll probably be taking 10 steps back. If you land on an open manhole, you'll be moving back down the board, and the ladders let you jump ahead. So let's begin. So we'll start with Christian. Christian, you rolled a two. And up the ladder. Christian, how many events do you think you've run in your professional career?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Like, I feel like I run at least one to two a month, so over 10 years. So yeah, I'd say over 200 events.
All right, George, you've rolled a six. So George, I'll ask you the same question. How many events do you think you've run in your professional career?
I don't have a big number. I tend to focus on a monster events. And so all of my energies go into that one, but that one would have a bunch of events happening across a week. So over anywhere up to 80 events. So something like that.
All right, Christian, you rolled a one. Okay, Christian, what's the largest event that you've organized in your career?
I think it would have been, we do a really large incentive for about 3,000 to 4,000 people, and that's usually always overseas.
All right, George, you rolled a one. So George, tell me about the first event you organized.
We had a friend who had a computer, and back in a day that was pretty crazy to have one. I think it was CorelDRAW or something she was using to create an invite. And I was in charge of organizing the marketing. I didn't know what I was doing. We just need to have a music. Someone can do the flyers. Great. We can print it. It's all black and white. And it was fun. And we were making clothes as well.
What is your favorite post-event junk food or drink?
I think chocolate. I usually eat a lot of chocolate when I'm back from on-site. Kit Kats predominantly. Like I will just stock up on Kit Kats and a bag of chips and then just watch TV for a few days trying to recover.
So George, what do you love or hate about events?
I love to bring people together and I love kind of creating an experience. What I don't like is 6 months of 16 hours a day working to get that idea actually implemented. I'm not a big fan of that.
So Christian, how did you get into events?
I just always want to do events. I think you've asked before, what was the first event you've organized? I think even when my brothers were turning, like if they had a birthday, I would organize a birthday party. I'd organize all the Christmas at home. Even in high school, I'd organize pretty much every single fundraising event and things like that.
You did mention you were a DJ. Is that how you got into events?
Yeah, pretty much. I was a DJ. I was a radio host. Yeah, we organized a lot of parties. We were the crew that pretty much organized the parties. Kind of natural to me. And now I'm not DJing, I'm just running events.
All right, Christian, have you ever met celebrities on the job?
Yeah, quite a few. I think we work in the corporate world, so having a celebrity is always like the draw card, essentially, for a lot of the corporates to have their attendees. I think one of my speaker crush, and everyone in the office knows it, was Elisa Kemplin. So she's not a big celebrity, but she was a famous Australian Olympian, and she was just such a great speaker and such a nice person to deal with as well.
Okay, so George, same question to you. Have you met any celebrities on the job?
Yes. So awesome. I did once in New York, crashed the party and got to hang out with Quincy Jones. That was fun.
Describe for me the moment that you knew COVID was going to turn the industry upside down.
We were all in the office, and then there was that one day. I think it's essentially when pretty much they canceled all live events. And then we just got all those calls. And it was just like cancellation after cancellation after cancellation. It went from one of the busiest, you know, 6 months ahead to nothing.
Describe the moment you knew COVID was going to irrevocably change the events industry.
Last year I was delivering event in start of February. So I was, I still get people telling me it was the last event we went to. Literally 4 to 6 weeks after that, it was a lockdown. But even then, a couple of speakers pulled out and I was starting to get very nervous about it. And so I was in this recovery bubble. I was kind of just watching the world collapse.
What do you miss the most about live events? And what do you not miss?
What I miss the most, I think it's the adrenaline or the seeing everyone. Like, you know, that kind of moment, like there was 30 minutes before doors where it's kind of all really quiet and then it's all ready to go. And then it's that kind of, there's a little buzz in the air. And then when everyone walks in and you can see they've got their phone up, they're really enjoying the event, which you don't really get in virtual events because you don't really see your audience. You don't really know if they're engaged or anything. And the event finishes and you just close your computer.
George, what's your favorite venue?
One of the best venues that I've been to is Friends through an event. This is in Croatia. They invited me to a co-curate segment. And they managed to agree with the local government to bring the ex-presidential ship back into the dock. And their through event in there, H&S here would not even allow anything like that, even to move the ship. But they can over there.
So what industries have you done events for and what's your favorite?
I think for me, the retail is usually the most fun. They expect their events to be less corporate and more like how their client would experience their brand or how their customers would experience their brand. And they're always a lot of fun. That's usually, my favorite.
So what's the most stressful event you've ever organized?
Like this year? So I have had a pretty crazy run on events last year. Last year was next level because it was our 10th anniversary. I wanted to kind of really do something special. And I booked the Shed 14 here in Docklands. It's a beautiful kind of venue. And just as I booked it, the state government declared that pier is not safe and they shut the venue down.
So what's the longest period of time you ever worked on a particular event?
So as most of our events come back annually, most of our events we work pretty much finish one, do the debrief and then start again. But then there's a few of them that are every 2 years. So I'd say, 2 years would probably be the longest lead time I've had on an event.
How did you find the switch to virtual during COVID?
Basically, I'm part of this European group of tech event organizers. We were meeting every week. And when I finished my event, they were running this virtual coffee sort of gatherings, and all of the event organizers were just kind of talking about their problems and issues. Sponsors pulling out, you know, this like last minute, they literally had to pivot like within 2-3 weeks of the event into online. This is, stories of nightmares, basically.
Have you read something recently or watched a movie, TV show that you'd like to share with other event professionals?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I might go to the lifeline because I've been watching a lot of, not proud of it, but a lot of trash TV recently. So I might go with the lifeline.
Currently watching Crown. I quite like it. Schitt's Creek was amazing. Mm. I didn't think it was for me, but it was ridiculously funny.
What's your favorite war story, event war story?
We've got so many. I think the funniest one is we were at a hotel in Hawaii and issues after issues with that event, with that hotel level of service. And then one night we just walk up to a setup and the tablecloth, like they put some round tablecloth on square tables, all different colors. None of them were matching. The tablecloth were going all over the floor. It just looked awful. It was funny because in the pre-con, we had about a 40 minutes discussion on tablecloth. And then in the end, all the colors were not matching and different. And we had to have a full battle with the hotel.
If you could have an unlimited supply of just one thing during an event, what would it be?
I mean, this, I'm really bad at this, and it's a very simple thing. I think if someone can implant into my body a bottle of water that I can drink every day and forces me to do that, that'd be great.
I thought you were going to say a bottle of whiskey, and I was an implanted bottle. That sounds amazing. If you could pick a pet, an event pet to take to your events, what would it be?
And my dog, actually. I just got a dog at the start of last year lockdown. Everyone loves him. Actually, I did a virtual event. We were showcasing a new platform and we needed an exhibitor. So I did a bit of a live stream with my dog. So everyone could go in the booth and watch my dog sleep and eat throughout the day. So, and everyone loved it and they could chat with the dog. So that was a lot of fun. So I would definitely be traveling with him around.
What's been your favorite virtual event since the start of last year?
Well, just because I attend event for different reasons. I don't even go to my own event, kind of keynotes and things like that. I just browse through the event. I'm researching constantly and checking things and making sure, like, have they done this? What have they done this? Am I going to ever do this? Or I'm never going to do that. And so I'm constantly just pretty much creating stats in my head and looking at how has someone delivered events.
So when do you think live events will return in the regions you work in?
Again, I think we're still very optimistic for the second half of this year. We're actually working on some live. Well, I think some of them have returned already to obviously a smaller scale. And you can see even in, you know, with New South Wales dancing, well, now the New Zealand travel bubble has reopened. All these things, I think, give confidence to people that it's safe.
What do you think the future of events will look like?
Well, you know, this online events is a thing. It's the only option. It has been only option, but not sure people loving it. You know, I didn't get that sort of impression people love it. So in-person events, yeah, that's what everyone wants. But then again, depending how this pandemic pans out, and yeah, it's waking up slowly, but still not there.
What's your favorite TV show at the moment?
Schitt's Creek is my comfort show. I think I've watched it many, many times now. I think it's such a clever show and I love the humor.
Okay. Do you have any good event war stories?
I don't know which ones, but like there is a lot. Every year there is a person that is giving you the most pain and you just never know because it could be very random. So every year there's somebody that just will not stop. It really then impacts you in a way that, you know, all of that energy and everything needs to go to that person to kind of tame them and just move away from that sort of issue. Like, but there is every year there's somebody, and yeah, I do have, yeah, it's not funny at the time because it's just really a lot of issue and hassle and but it's kind of, yeah.
So Christian, if you could just give one piece of advice to event professionals for planning an event in this post-COVID world, what would it be?
I think it's get familiar with the tech, and to George's point, attend virtual events. Like I'm the same. I do a lot of research, like see what the different platforms are and really understand what they are.
Okay, George, you rolled a one, and I think this will probably be the last. If you could pick any speaker for your next event, dead or alive, who would you pick and why?
I saw Obama speak, but I would love to chat to Michelle.
Okay, Christian, you rolled a 6, and this will be the last question. So how do you think Zoom fatigue is affecting virtual events now that we've had almost a year, if not more?
It's really funny because for us, we've never used Zoom much as a platform just because of that reason. Right from the start, we identified that there is Zoom fatigue and it would be Zoom fatigue. So we are really trying to create those fully branded environment or those online experience as much as we can that doesn't look like Zoom. I think people are just tired of the Zoom meetings, and we get more and more clients now that, you know, it's black on white on their brief is saying we do not want a Zoom meeting, or we don't want it to feel like a Zoom meeting. We're tired of Zoom meetings. So there's a lot of that. So I think that's when now a lot of the new platforms or the more of the branded or experiential platform, more gamification, we're starting to see that it are becoming a lot more popular.
Well, look, guys, we've hit time. Thanks so much for being guests of Event Heist, and it's been great having you on.